okay. I was taking my afternoon walk, just strolling down my neighborhood block, when I had an out-of-body experience, and boy, was it a shock. I saw the universe spinning around like a clock, Jesus and Buddha just having a talk. It happened to me, believe it or not, while I was taking my afternoon walk. Uh-huh. Alright, then I talked to a duck at the creek for what felt like a month and a week. I could understand every wise quack that was coming out of her beak. She gave me her lucky wisdom tooth. She showed me the ancient fountain of youth. She told me the long-lost secret truth while I was taking my afternoon walk. Yes, her. When I was taking my afternoon walk, just taking my afternoon walk, what happened? Time disappeared and things got weird while I was taking my afternoon walk. That's right. Here we go. Okay, then I met an albino squirrel who made my world swirl. He got a purple cat and a yellow dog dancing polka with a polka-dotted girl. He blew my nose and he bit my shin. He hit me on the head with a mandolin. He lost my mind, but then I found it again while I was taking my afternoon walk. A true story. Sing the chorus. I was taking my afternoon walk, just taking my afternoon walk. Then what? Time disappeared and things got weird while I was taking my afternoon walk. It's what I do. I take my afternoon walk. I gotta go take my afternoon walk, Here I go.
That's the Okie Dokie Brothers right here on the Children's Hour. We thought it was a great day to go outside for a walk when we went to the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project with archaeologist Jared Roberts, educator Sandy Romero, and volunteer Judy Chaddick, and a few of our kids' crew. This super fragile environment is so delicate, we could only bring a handful of our kids' crew. And so far, over the years they've been open, they've documented more than 60,000 petroglyphs in this one small site. They actually think there's probably double that amount. So to describe where we are right now, we're up on the side of this mesa, this hill, if you will. And at the bottom of the hill, what I see is the Rio Grande, which is a huge river here. You can find it on a map. And that valley is pretty wide and full of trees. And we're in kind of a geologically active area in the world, kind of like the whole planet. I mean, these are basalt, as you mentioned, which come from volcanic activity. So how come these aren't being eroded by rain and wind and weather?
I mean, they are. It's not eroding as fast as the rest of the landscape.
If we were to put petroglyphs, let's say, on a softer rock like limestone, and it was exposed to the elements just as these are, it probably would not have lasted nearly as long as the basalt does.
So do you think petroglyphs have been lost to erosion over time?
Absolutely. We only can be certain of what we can see right now, but the archaeological record is inherently biased. It's because not everything preserves. This is only just one little teeny part of the culture that's preserved, but even when we're studying these petroglyphs, everything else from the day-to-day life, from basketry, from everything that you're actively engaged in day-to-day life, that does not preserve. And also it depends upon where you're at in the landscape too. It was mentioned that, you know, rock shelters and caves often have these images, but those images could have been much more present throughout, you know, everywhere. It's just, they did not preserve. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good question. It's something that's always important to think about.
Is there anything we can do to prevent this loss of ancient art?
That's a multi-answered question. It goes down to different philosophies. One of the philosophies is leave them in place and let nature take its course.
And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're documenting what we have when we can, but then at the same time making sure that we are not either furthering or making its demise faster, because at the end of the day, if we were to move that boulder, we would lose so much information. And on top of that, this is a very sacred landscape still. A lot of the cultures that created this imagery are still around. They're just right down the road. So we must also make sure that we respect the sacredness of them by also leaving them as they are.
The other thing I see on here, well, it's really hard to miss, is English writing, or maybe it's Spanish writing, Delfino Chacón something. And clearly, like, that's not Tewa. So that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to come here and do this show, was because I hike a lot and I've been seeing a lot of damage to petroglyphs, gunshots and things like this that clearly are modern, like this writing. Can you talk a little bit about that and the preservation of culture?
Sure. As you can see, it's Chacón. You know, he was probably one of the early Hispano colonizers. And maybe he saw these, you know, different images and he wanted to be on the rock too. We don't call any of it graffiti. It all has meaning, whether we like it or not. And we want to educate people into the incredible importance and beauty of the petroglyphs and the landscape that they're in, so that they won't have an urge to deface them. If they're angry or feeling sorry and just want to destroy something, we want them to have a special feeling of this place, that it's a place to take care of and preserve and respect. Yeah.
One thing I would also like to represent that we really haven't touched on is our place. We're looking just at the imagery, but what we need to do is also look at the landscape. And so I would just ask you all to look out onto the landscape itself and see why here as opposed to down at the bottom. Why certain images up here opposed down at the bottom. Why certain images... And once you just, like, instead of just looking down at the ground, I definitely suggest you to start looking up and seeing the landscape and how beautiful and how far we can see. These images are not just, you know, random doodles. They're very sacred imagery, and they are placed on the landscape for very particular points. And you cannot really understand it until you just start looking out. One of my favorite things is just to turn around. Just take a pause, and you'll often see something beautiful.
That's Jared Roberts, the archaeologist at Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project in northern New Mexico. We're also going to be speaking with the tribal preservation officer of Acoma Pueblo. And the kids are still at Mesa Prieta. And just a note, archaeologist Jared Roberts spoke about the living cultures that are still in our region whose ancestors made these petroglyphs. Where this location is, the nearest pueblo is called Oque Owingue, and that pueblo is quite significant as it is the birthplace of Pope. He was the architect of the Pueblo Revolt of 1680. You can learn about the Pueblo Revolt in episode 4 of A Brief History of the American Southwest for Kids. You'll find it at childrenshour.org/history. Lots more to learn about petroglyphs. Stick with us. I'm Katie Stone, and this is the Children's Hour.
Shato, come on, she gave it to a shot.
Red Millicote right here on the Children's Hour from Precious Friends with My Relatives. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about petroglyphs. And we wanted to learn even more from Todd Sissons. He's the Tribal Preservation Officer at Acoma Pueblo. Acoma is located about 100 miles west of Albuquerque, and its ancestral pueblo is at the top of a beautiful mesa. You can visit it even today. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Todd Sissons. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just wanted to know your perspective of petroglyphs. How would you describe them?
The general idea, if you will, of how they're interpreted is pictures or art that represent different things, whether it's animals, mountains, just various landscapes. But the meaning of these is much deeper, especially to Native American tribes here in the Southwest. There are a number of Pueblo tribes that still exist to this day. We still practice our cultures. And the people who used to live here long ago, we consider them to be our ancestors.
It's worth mentioning, Todd, to folks who aren't aware, that Acoma Pueblo, along with the 19 other pueblos, were not displaced. People of Acoma still live in their ancestral homeland that you all have lived in for thousands of years.
Yes, that is correct. We are still in our original homeland or land base that we first inhabited thousands of years ago. We are considered one of the oldest continuously inhabited communities or towns in the United States. The practices that our ancestors did long ago still continue to this day. And one of those practices is the idea of the petroglyphs. The meaning behind these displays of art, if you will, they basically tell a story of everyday life. We have books that we can read today, or of course, as technology has advanced, we have the phones and the iPads and such that we can use to read things that tell us these stories. While way back in the early days when our ancestors were still living, this is the way that they told their stories. And these drawings are of things that they did every day, places that they visited, probably prayers that they said, animals that they saw, and just various things that they wanted to record. The moon, the sun, the stars, if they saw comets, all of that stuff was put on rock faces because they wanted to keep what they were doing as a permanent record of them being in these places. Many of these petroglyphs are sacred to many of us tribes. And so many people are starting to see now they are a living history of our people. And we have tried to get out there that message of, you know, please respect these drawings, these stories, if you will, because they represent different cultures and their past.
Do people at Acoma still make petroglyphs today?
We don't do it as much anymore because, of course, nowadays, with technology and stuff, many of the stories and things that we do on a daily basis, they're pretty much recorded. There are still some people that know how to do that, but it's not really done anymore.
When you see a petroglyph, you're seeing a story.
That is correct. It's a story that we see, and it's a symbol of more than just an animal or a place, but a sacredness that exists between the real world and what we consider to be this spiritual world.
And there's also something for you personally, where this is your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents made that petroglyph.
Yes. And that is the other reason why it's so important, because we know that people who were related to us at some point in some way made these. So we always want these to be protected.
Are petroglyphs different from pueblo to pueblo?
In most cases, they pretty much mean the same thing to all pueblos. And that goes back to our origin stories where we were one large group of people. And at some point in time, we did split up to the various tribes, the various Pueblo tribes that you see today. So because of that belief that we have, we all consider these to be similar and kind of tell the same story. That doesn't mean that there aren't some that aren't specific to each tribe, because there certainly are, but for the most part, they're all pretty much similar in their meanings.
We have pictures of petroglyphs posted at childrenshour.org, and one of them is of a spiral. What does a spiral mean to you?
That design is actually one of my favorite designs, and it holds a lot of meaning for me. The spiral is meant to describe a journey that took place wherever they were coming from and wherever they went to. We don't truly know, but nevertheless, there was a journey that took place. Many of these journeys were pilgrimages, usually spiritual pilgrimages that they took to sacred places. They would mark these journeys that they took to, you know, identify that that particular journey meant something. So whenever I see spirals, one of the first things that I like to do is trace it out, because it gives me a sense of the journey that my ancestors took long ago.
Wow. We're talking with Todd Sissons. He's the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer at Acoma Pueblo. Thanks for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. And I do hope that this gives everyone a better understanding of the meaning and symbolism of these petroglyphs.
Today's episode has curriculum and activities at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund.